Hello, this is Pastor Alan Cain. We're continuing our study in the basics of powerful prayer. Today's message is Keeping His Name Hallowed. I hope you'll enjoy.
All right, so we're going to do debts and debtors. And I want you to say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Very good. We all learned it in King James Version, didn't we? We're going to talk about this beautiful concept today. Especially, we're going to talk about this, the text as a whole, just for a little bit, and then we're going to focus in on this hallowing of a name. Nick, I'm going to pick on you today. Is that all right? All right. Nick, just stay right there. What's your job title at work?
Habilitation specialist.
Habilitation specialist? We have with us an habilitation, not rehabilitation,
no,
but...
habilitation.
What in the world's that?
Caseworker.
Okay. We have a... It sounds better to say habilitation worker.
Smarter.
Habilitation what?
Specialist.
Specialist. Mm-hmm. Now, we can honor the concept of a habilitation specialist, or we can honor Nick Fields. Both the same thing, right? A habilitation specialist. Specialist. Or we can honor Nick Fields. Same thing. One's a title, right? Mm-hmm. And a beautiful title it is. And one is his name. We could go on down the list and what job do you... Oh, you don't have a job. You're just sponging off your parents. We could go on down the line. And this prayer starts out, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, often when we refer to God, we use that word, God. God is also a habilitation specialist in his own right, but that's his title. That's his title. It's not his name. His name we're going to look at in just a minute, but it takes on a whole new meaning when, you know, we can honor a CEO of the company or we can honor Steve Jobs. We're talking about job opportunities. When I found out Steve Jobs was going to take a leave of absence, I called my brother, Mark, and I said, have you got the phone call yet? He said, what are you talking about? I said, Apple, have they called you yet and offered you the job of CAO? And he goes, no, I'm not waiting on that with bated breath either. You know, we can even pray for a CAO or we can pray for Steve Jobs, whatever. It takes on a different meaning when we know the name because it's personal. You know, we can honor Nick Fields or we can pray for Nick Fields. More, we can pray for habilitation specialist downtown somewhere or wherever he's at. It becomes personal. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, how that concept changes. And so when we look at the concept of the Lord's Prayer, if you look at it with any time spent, you find out that there's kind of broken into two sections. The first three verses are petitions. There's three petitions there, and those are directed to God. And the second three are about us. The first three petitions is, the first one, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is a verb, by the way. It's something we do. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we want to happen. We want his name to be hallowed or magnified or glorified or exalted. It means set apart and sanctified. We want his name to be holy in us. That's the first petition. That your name would be holy, God. That's what we're praying. That's what Jesus starts with to talk about his dad. The first thing you need to do is ask that his name be holy. The second thing is, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. We want your kingdom to come. And your then third one, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So these first three things are really huge, massive things, grand things, eternal things, supernatural things. This God that has always been, we want to lift up your name. We want to glorify it. We want to sanctify it, set it apart. And then we want your kingdom to come. We're asking for a new world is what we're asking for. The paradise that was before, but even better. And then we want your will, your holy, unchangeable, sovereign, glorious will to be done on earth, just like it gets done in heaven, which is totally. And we know that's not happening today. So we've got these grand concepts that we're praying for that Jesus is teaching us to pray, that these big things would happen. And they're all about God and what He is doing in the world. And then it switches to things about us. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, health. We need the things that bring about health. We need food. You know, we need health, Lord. Help us to live. Give us this day our daily bread. And also forgive us our debts as we forgive others. So we ask for health and then we ask for forgiveness. We need health and we need forgiveness. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or some versions actually say evil one. And so that's about holiness. So we're asking for health, we're asking for forgiveness, and we're asking for a holy life. Lord, don't let us get in temptation. Don't let us get into sin. And those are all needs. And it's, you know, kind of, you know, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. These grand schemes. And then it's, we could use some bread today. We're kind of hungry. We're hurting. We can need some health here. I'm messed up. Can you forgive me? Can you help me forgive them? And I battle. I'm not holy. I need your help. And in life, kind of that way, we kind of go from one extreme to the other, where we're on the mountaintops, we're doing the will of God, and we see Him at work, and these grand, we're involved in the grand scheme, and sometimes we're just trying to make it through the day, miring through the mud. And this prayer kind of deals with both sides of that. And as we look at that, it's kind of this two sections to this prayer, and we're going to break those down over the next few weeks. Each one of those is a sermon in themselves, but there's these two general sections, the things of God and the things of us. Now, those things are all needs. We need forgiveness. We need help. We need holiness. The other things, God needs nothing. The song that we sing, "You are God alone." I noticed that while we were singing it. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. And so those things, He doesn't need anything from us. Accept our love. He wants that. Doesn't need it. He wants that. But those things are all done. They're going to happen. His name will be glorified. The kingdom will come. His will be done on earth eventually. But everything else is our need. You know, what we need. And Jesus says it's all right to ask for your needs. We're going to talk about that. But there's also in that sections, the God things and our things. You could also break it down another way. And of the first three petitions of hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done, of those three, the first one is preeminent over everything else. It's our highest prayer, our deepest prayer, and it's to keep His name holy. The Scripture talks about it in so many places that the whole duty of man is to worship God and to lift Him up. And everything else, the one to the rest of the five, all those five serve that one thing, is to hallow the name of God. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom coming is to do that, is to serve and to exalt the name of the God who is bringing the kingdom. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is to serve the hallowing of the name of God. And the reason that we need our daily bread is so that we can have health to hallow the name of God and broadcast it in the world and proclaim that name. And the reason we need our sins forgiven is so that the name of God can be glorified in this world as people see us forgiven. And then to be holy, the same thing. That, Lord, make us holy, keep us from temptation so we don't run down your name. All those things glorify the name of God. It is the greatest prayer we can do. And it's often the thing that we often neglect in our prayer time, is to exalt that name, to glorify from in here towards Him the holiness and the grandeur of His name. We don't hallow his name so that we can then serve a higher purpose. There is no higher purpose than the hallowing of his name. That's it. That's the top one. Everything else serves that. To make his name holy. Just ask you, not for condemnation, but for conviction. There's a huge difference. How much of your prayer life is spent on making his name glorified, magnified, holy, and set apart in your life? That you just spend time thanking him for the God that he is. If you got a bookmark, stick it here in Matthew 6, and then we're going to go a few other places. I want you to go to Romans chapter 11 with me, if you will. We were looking at this Wednesday night. Paul is teaching some incredible things about the God that he loves and that saved him. He's talking about God's mercy and how it impacts his life. And he just gets caught up in the moment. And he jumps into this prayer and he's praying these beautiful words in the last few verses of Romans 11. And then he ends in verse 36 with this phrase. Romans chapter 11 at verse 36. About the riches of God, the wisdom of God. He says his ways are unsearchable, his judgments are unfathomable. For who can know the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever given to God that he should have to repay? He's just these grand things about the God that we serve. And then he ends it in verse 36 with these words. For from him, God, and I heard, I think it was you said his name is what?
Yahweh.
Yahweh, that's his name. That's the phrase that we know anyway. We're not sure that's the real name, and I'll explain that in a minute. But him that he's referring to here is Yahweh. That is, it's like Christ is the title. Jesus is his name. So when we say Jesus Christ, it's not first and last names, right, for the Son. You know, Christ means King or Messiah, so Jesus King is one thing. But if you switch that around, King Jesus, that's a whole other concept, right? Whole nother, is that a proper word? Anyway, and so, you know, we often just talk about God, but that's not a name, that's a title. His name is, as best as we know it anyway, is Yahweh. And so Paul is talking about Father here, and he says, verse 36, for from him, capital H, you see that? All you have capital H's there? For from him, from Yahweh, for from him, and through him, Yahweh, and to Yahweh are all things. To Yahweh be the glory forever. Amen. He said, all things are from him and for him and to him, to Yahweh. That's the number one thing. That's why Jesus starts with it. Our Father who art in heaven. Here's the best thing we can do. Hallowed, holy, protected, revered, respected, feared should be your name. Holy. Holy is your name. Paul says that all things are from him and to him and through him are all things. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. See this again. 1 Corinthians 8, at verse 6. Paul is talking about liberty we have, but he says, you can eat food, offered idols, those kind of things, but he says, we shouldn't have any idols before you. He says, there are many so-called gods, verse 5, whether in heaven or on earth. Indeed, there are many gods and many lords, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 8. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. But he says, all things... The from him are all things, and we exist for him. If you got a pen or pencil, circle for him. We exist for Him. For Him. To hallow His name. Everything we can do to magnify and respect and revere and glorify the name of God, that is why we exist. We exist for Him. For Him. Let's talk just a minute about His name. Go way back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God's been on the scene a while. Actually, God's been on the scene ever since there was a scene. And we don't know how that works. Isn't that amazing? How can something always be? And while you're turning there, I just want to talk about that, because I like to talk about it every time I get a chance. You know, that's one thing that everybody gets stuck on. How can God have always existed? That is impossible for that to happen. I've even been there. I even get there. This week, as I was studying this, I'm thinking, man, how? And I love Ecclesiastes says, God has put eternity in the hearts of man, but yet they can't understand it. We know that it's possible, but we can't get our arms around it. I think it's Ecclesiastes 3:11. And so, how can He always exist? And from a logical point of view, something has to be eternal. Something has to be immortal. You know, they say Big Bang is what started all this, because all the elements and atoms got together and condensed and they exploded, okay? Where did the elements come from that condensed and exploded? All right, so they had to start somewhere. Well, they started from the other Big Bang. Okay, where did those elements come from to condense and explode? You know, we can do this all day. Eventually, the fact that I can touch this and pinch this and what, you know, do this sound, you know, whatever, here with you today, you can hear my voice, I can make my voice happen, is proof that something is immortal. If there are atoms ever to make something, those atoms had to start somewhere, or they can't start somewhere, because if there was nothing to start from, how did they start? Right? If you think about it long enough, you've got to come to the conclusion, at least in my feeble mind, is that immortality is a given. Somehow, whether you believe it's God or not, it really doesn't matter to me at this moment. I mean, it does to me, but the important point is that immortality, I think, is a given. That I can talk to you proves that something has always been. My view as a preacher of the gospel is that that is God. So how does it happen? I haven't got a clue. I don't know. I don't know how something can always be. I don't know. I don't know. But I believe immortality is just a given. And so God has been around a while, but He's kind of been off the scene for about 400 years. While the Jews are in Israel, in Egypt under slavery, God finally decides to set them free. They've kind of walked away from God. They're not real close to Him anymore. Moses has been kicked out of Egypt. He's wandering in the wilderness. He's taking care of sheep, and he looks up on a mountain, and there's a bush burning. He goes, I got to go check this out. And so he goes up and checks it out. And as he approaches, God says, take off your shoes, for what you're standing on is holy ground. Even in the sense of the ground he was walking on, when God was in his presence, he wasn't even worthy to come on it with shoes. I think the reason for that is shoes are man-made. He says, I want the feet I created standing on the earth. I created what I made holy on what I made holy. Nothing man-made in between us. And so even the ground is hallowed. All right? If you're going to approach me, you take your shoes off and you come to me as I made you. Take off your shoes for that you are standing on holy ground. And so he begins to have this conversation with God through this burning bush. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, quote, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? Good question. What am I going to tell them when they ask me what his name is? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. That sounds like a politician's answer, doesn't it? I am who I am, or I am that I am. What that phrase in the Hebrew really says is, it means I am the self-existent one. I don't know how. But I believe there's a God, and I've seen him at work, and he is the one who, I think if he is God, he's able to get us his word to us, and his word says that I am that I am. I just am. I didn't come. I'm just here. We think, how? I don't know. But I believe it with every fiber of my being. And so he says, here's what you tell him. I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Now, we don't see it there, but there is a Hebrew phrase that means to be. And that word is very close to the word where we basically get our Yahweh. Now, and that's what he uses here. He gives his name. Now, over time, the prohibition for the Jewish people was to be very careful with the name of God. Remember the Ten Commandments? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In fact, it was punishable by death to dishonor the name, not the title. That's dangerous too, but particularly the name Yahweh. And so right here, he speaks it, Yahweh. Y-H-W-H are the consonants from that word. The Jews were so scared and so hallowing of that name and revering of that name that they were afraid that they might write it wrong or mispronounce it or whatever, that they took the vowels out and shortened it to another phrase. It's kind of like when Prince changed his name from Prince to a symbol. Okay, we're going to use this symbol, and when you see this, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the name. They were so afraid to use it wrong that they just were going to use this word. In fact, Adonai is another word which often is translated Lord for us. That word is often used in place here because the word Adonai, Lord, is very close to the name Yahweh. And everyone knew what that meant. When that appeared, that was his name. The Jewish people were sticklers, and most of them were careful about the name. And if you've seen some of the Jewish movies that depict this, you'll see them as they talk. When they mention the Lord, which is Adonai or Yahweh, and they'll say, the Lord our God, blessed be his name. They say that afterwards. They're so careful that if they utter his name, they say, blessed be his name afterwards. Just, you know, we're going to revere this name. And if they would write his name, scribes, when they would write Yahweh and Lord or Adonai, those forms of it, they wouldn't use that pen again. That pen is now set apart as holy. They were not allowed to use it again. That's how much they revered this name. And this is what God, through Jesus, as he's teaching us to pray, he says, here's what I want you to do above everything else. I want you to hallow my name. And look with me, if you will, it's verse 15. God furthermore said to Moses, this you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God. See the word Lord in your Bible? How many have it in all caps, all capital letters? Raise your hand if it's in all capital letters in your Bible. All right? Anytime you see it in all caps, that isn't really the word Lord. That's really the word Yahweh. That's his name. That's where his name should appear. Now, here's something that maybe you've never noticed before. This is what's in my Bible. If those of you who did not raise your hand for all caps, look at yours again. Is the L capitalized? It's just the L capitalized, all right? Now, look at the ORD. It's small, but is it caps? Oh, see, you never noticed that before, did you? That is still capitals, just lowercase capitals. How many of you have that? Raise your hand. All right? That should be the rest of you. Anytime you see Lord, all caps, or Lord with a capital L and small caps, that is Yahweh. That is the name of God. So when you read that, it says, the Yahweh, or actually we probably put the in there to make it sound right in English, the Lord your God. But it should be Yahweh, the God of your fathers. So anytime you see the capitals, it's Yahweh, it's his name. And so he speaks, however that sounded. Yahweh probably had, again, Y-H-W-H. There were probably some vowels in there. And Yahweh may not be the pronunciation. But it's what we have after all this time. And they were so careful not to use it that we may have lost what the actual name was. But Yahweh's probably awful close to the name that he gave Moses to use. Tell them that Yahweh sent you. And Yahweh means the self-existent one. I am. I just am. And so we have in this prayer of Jesus, back in Matthew 6, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Yahweh." Hallowed be Yahweh. Remember, as I said already, Ten Commandments. Third one is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. Punishable by death. Are we careful, brothers and sisters, and how we use even the title God? Even though that's not his name, that's his title. We need to be careful how we use it. And particularly the name. We need to revere that name. I don't think it's wrong to use it, but we should respect it and magnify it. And it is the ultimate goal of every believer from in here. And that's Jesus is asking to pray this. Lord, help us to hallow your name. Help us to revere it, to honor it, to glorify it, to magnify it, to respect who you are, the self-existent Yahweh. And we talk to him on a first-name basis. Yahweh loves Alan. We respect you, Lord God. Help us to do better at hallowing your name. And so, as I wrestled with this week, and I asked the question, how do we get that done? Okay, you want us to hallow the name, to sanctify it, to set it apart, to make it holy, to respect it and treasure it. How do we do that? Well, one thing I've already talked about. Be careful how you speak even his title. And I hear it all the time. People use God as an exclamation point. Oh my God, did you see that? What if he answers you? Yes, I did. I see all things. I'm not a legalist. I don't recommend you do that anymore. If that's your nature, after you hear this, I'm going to be careful how we throw the name of God around and the name of his son. Jesus Christ is also not an exclamation point. And oh my gosh, is like the symbol for it. You know what I mean? Say, oh my, Alan. You know, something that don't really matter. My name doesn't need to be hallowed. We need to be careful, all right? Just on that. And we hear it all the time. Maybe we grew up with it and it's normal for us. I'm challenging today, not a condemnatory way, but as a brother in Christ who sees as the highest thing we can do is to hallow and protect and honor and sanctify the name and even the title of God. Be careful how you use that. And teach your children to do the same. But there's more than just what we say from our mouths. And the rest of the prayer, basically, as I've already said, is how we hallow it. Are we working for his kingdom to come? That lifts up the name of God. Are we trying to get his will done here on earth as it is in heaven? That is how we hallow it. We get involved in what God is doing. And then are we asking him as his children, Lord, give me my daily bread, give me my health, give me my strength, help me to be fit or whatever it may be so that I can be stronger and give more and last longer so that I can exalt your name to this world. I can share it with the world. The way we hallow his name is by praying for ourselves with the needs we have so that we can then turn that back to his name. When we ask for forgiveness so that we can be set free from the bondage that unforgiveness brings, we are hallowing the name of our God, Yahweh. You know, one of the worst things you can do is that if you're working for somebody whose their name is on the business, is do a bad job. Have you ever had a boss that said, look, my name's on the paycheck, my name's on the sign out front, my name's in the yard that you're working at, and what you do reflects on me. You want to hallow the name of God? Ask for forgiveness for your mistakes in your life and then start giving that forgiveness to others. We don't deserve forgiveness, so we have no reason to withhold it from somebody else either. The way we hallow His name is make our mistakes aware to ourselves and ask for forgiveness and then give that to other people. And then He says, lead us not into temptation. The way we keep from disgracing the name of God is by asking for Him to help us be holy. All those five things underneath the one is ways that we can lift up and hallow the name of God. It was Jesus' way to teach us. And He started with the ultimate. The deepest prayer, the widest prayer, the highest prayer is, hallowed be Yahweh. I want to close with what we started with. Except this time I don't want you to quote the scripture with me. I want you to pray it with me. And keep your eyes open as we say this together, but speak it from your heart. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Keeping His Name Hallowed, a ministry of the Lawrenceville Church of God, Springfield, Ohio.